From BGS, the bluegrasssituation.com, you're listening to The Shift List, where chefs talk about the music that fills their kitchens, restaurants, and recipes. I'm Chris Jacobs. The Marksman Public House in East London has been around for over 150 years, exemplifying what a pub should be. Cozy wood paneling, regulars that have been stopping in for decades, comforting food and quality local beer, English hospitality at its finest. Chef Tom Harris took over the place with his co-founder and co-chef John Rotherham in 2015, and perhaps their greatest achievement, aside from being named Michelin's Pub of the Year for 2017, the first time a London pub was awarded the accolade, is that they kept the historic pub a pub. They could have easily turned the place into a fine dining establishment only, given that chefs Tom and John met while running the St. John Hotel Restaurant together and worked previously at London's legendary St. John Restaurant under head chef Fergus Henderson. But with the Marksman Pub, they managed to leave the bar downstairs relatively unchanged and converted the second floor into a stylish yet casual dining room to showcase their English cooking. I spoke to Tom at the Marksman on a cloudy but cozy London day in September.
So my name is Tom Harris. I am the chef owner of the Marksman Public House, along with my business partner John Rotherham, who's also a chef. We took the pub over about 5 years ago. The pub's been here since 1865, so it's been here a while. We are a community pub. We've got a lot of old boys who drink here every day. And we created a dining room upstairs, which is a much more contemporary space. And yeah, the pub is very much still a pub, which is nice. What we didn't want to do was create a restaurant in what used to be a pub. The idea of putting a fine dining space in a pub and take away what a pub is would have broken our hearts. So the idea that we keep the pub as it was and create a separate space for the dining was always what we wanted to do. I know this is about music, but you know, the ambient noise of a pub is a beautiful thing. You know, the idea of clinking glasses and people chatting and kind of, you know, pints being poured and, you know, a pub is about chat. And that's kind of, that's nice. And I think what we get is a lot, you know, the music downstairs is not that loud. We're not playing drum and bass, we're not playing hard rock or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? It's got to be soulful and it's got, you know, I'm a soul boy at heart. So I'm like, something, what have we got? I mean, Johnny Hammondsmith, Shifting Gears is amazing. Stand on the Word, you know, those old kind of tunes that are like those kind of things that are lift it up a little bit. Obviously music's important early on to get a good vibe going and kind of, you know, get people, you know, raise the energy level a little bit. The idea is that it tonally, you know, it'll be a little more chilled out, it'll be kind of, you know, we might listen to a bit of Fela Kuti or put a bit of Fela Kuti on, like, you know, that kind of stuff that's nice level, nice energy. If you dare follow, follow, make you open, I open, mouth open. So a pub is it should be an extension of their front room. I mean, the finest example of what a pub should be is a George Orwell essay, Moon Underwater. And he creates 10 points of what a pub should be. And I can't remember all of them, but, you know, it's you walk in and the barman, barmaid knows you by name. There should always be food on. Mind you, he says there shouldn't be any music at a pub, which we differ on. But a public house should be somewhere you can come and feel comfortable all day long. Sit and have a pint, talk to your friends, you know, it's a familial space.
It's the best part of England.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. It's the heart of English hospitality, I think. So the food we do at the Marksman is, myself and John have been working at St. John for a long time and, you know, the idea of kind of bringing English food back to the forefront of London dining, at least, you know, London's a city that you can go to Madrid and eat Spanish food, you can go to Paris and eat French food, you go to, you know, Milan, eat Italian food. You come to London, you eat Jamaican food, Thai food, Indian food. You know, people don't come to London and go, I want to eat English food. One of the reasons for choosing a pub to kind of open a restaurant in was that a pub is not a necessary dining space, but, you know, we have been dining in pubs and taverns for many years. You know, it's kind of, it felt right to kind of do the kind of food we were doing in this space.
Well, speaking as a tourist, it's the one place that I know that I can go to get English food.
Yeah, I know, but the problem is that most pubs do terrible English food, and that's kind of, you know, it's a really bad rendition of English food. I mean, we do great pies all the time. We do, you know, we always have smoked fish on the menu. We always, you know, we cure fish ourselves. We make our own breads. We do all the kind of stuff. A lot of do everything we can, we make in-house. So we're a, you know, we're a local restaurant. We're not in the center of town. Chefs come in about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they typically finish about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. We're a busy weekend pub around here. So our Sunday roast is one of the busiest days for us. People come from a long way to kind of have our Sunday roast. That's a tough day. It's a long, long day. It's the longest service. And that's when music really does come into play. A Sunday morning's playlist is like the most important. I mean, I'll do like a jazz funk playlist and I'll start playing some Idris Muhammad. I mean, Roy Ayres or something, a little bit easier or whatever, but kind of, you know, get a good energy going. Everybody loves the sunshine. But if I play too much jazz, funk, that it will freak some of the younger chefs out a little bit. And then you can see them just getting, it gets too much to them. So we might put on something. Eddie Hazel is one, an Eddie Hazel playlist is a Funkadelic playlist. You know, a Parliament playlist is like, that gets people jacked up, you know. And then, you know, go on to a bit of a rockier playlist, some Allman Brothers or whatever. You know, I mean, I'll listen to Allman Brothers all day. It's like, Eat a Peach. But, you know, at the minute, I'm listening to a young jazz drummer from London called Moses Boyd. And his has a tune called Rye Lane Shuffle. Which kind of, you know, references, you know, Tony Allen, you know, Africa funk, just there's lots of different stuff that it kind of, but it's just, musicianship is so good. I'm very sensitive about the music I listen to. You know, bad music makes me angry. If anyone's playing some bad music, I'm in a terrible mood.
Do you want to throw out any examples of bad music?
There's too much to mention. You mentioned Arcade Fire. If I listen to something like that, I'm just like, it just gives me the shit. When music really has its value in kitchens is to act as a motivating force, you know. But the restaurants before this, we hadn't listened to music. We weren't allowed to listen to music in kitchens. But we don't play music during service. So when we're cooking, when the service starts upstairs and guests are in and tickets are in, yeah, we turn the music off.
Talk a little bit about working at St. John, because you mentioned earlier that there was no music and kind of like the headspace that puts you in.
Well, it's interesting because then it's just, you know, St. John was a different space. It's an open kitchen for a start. And Fergus Henderson, the owner, and Trevor were adamant that there shouldn't be music in the dining room. You know, it's a big old space.
In the dining room at all.
In the dining room and the bar, you know, it should be about chat, and it should be about the noise should come from the customers and kind of, you know, and I think at a time when in, you know, those days the idea of music in restaurants was piped music, you know, kind of, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, music in restaurants wasn't great. It wasn't curated, but it was curated by, it's the same kind of shit you'd get in lifts. And I think that was what he didn't want to, you know, Fergus loves music. You know,
really?
Yeah, of course. It's like, you know, it's not, he loves a bit of James Brown. Baby, I got the feeling, baby. For me personally, music in the pub is when, you know, the shift finishes and the pub's emptied out and kind of I've just got a few of the chefs in and I'll pop the jukebox on. You know, as we're kind of kicking out people as well, you've got to be careful. I can't put the jukebox on because the people will be like, fuck, I'm staying. It's a lock-in. But you get, you know, putting on the jukebox is kind of, I mean, it depends, you know, the jukebox is curated by myself and kind of, you know, so it'll be a different playlist all the time. But it's mostly old reggae. I've got some dancehall in there as well. I mean, we've got Eka Mouse in there, we've got, you know,
you got Eka Mouse 45s in there?
Yeah. I mean we've got lots of different records in there that we play, and I try not to keep it too kind of reggae based, but there's some I mean, at the minute I'm going big into kind of English late 60s kind of garage rock, kind of John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, you know, that kind of stuff. Like the kind of first records I bought, I mean, like the first records I bought were either The Specials or Madness, English Beat. I mean, like, one of my favourite, I mean, the beat, but Mirror in the Bathroom as well is just like a killer as well. Growing up, my father is a big jazz head. Charlie Parker, Jerry Mulligan, Stan Kenton, Buddy Rich, a lot of Dave Brubeck. And there's kind of stuff that I remember being quite annoyed by it when I was a young kid, you know what I mean? But But it's something that I've come back to now. Like, you know, obviously later on you're like, shit, I go back there now and I'm like, I can't borrow that record. So I grew up with a lot of different stuff, and my mum, I mean, loves music as well, but, you know, she's a lot of Neil Diamond and Carly Simon, you know, I love Neil Diamond. My mum's name is Desi, and Desiree, which is like, you know, one of his great, it's like, I think she thought it was Syrian for her. Food and music, I think they are kind of tied together. They're kind of, okay, they're both senses based. I mean, I don't know, when I describe food to other chefs or when I'm describing a cooking technique, I often use musical terms or not, you know, I'll say add more fat to it, it needs more bass, or it needs more kind of, you know, not in a stupid way, but, you know, to describe, you know, a dressing that needs, you know, the top end needs to be taken off a little bit, you know what I mean? You have to drop the hi-hat a little bit or something, you know, but there is a distinct relationship between flavor profiles and sound, I think. And I think there's a, you know, in terms of describing flavour, maybe it's just easier for me to describe music because it's such an important part of my life. And I think when you do describe that, straight away people get it. When you talk about kind of the top end and the bottom end of a dressing or a sauce or something is too sharp, you know, you've got too much, you know, treble in it. You know, bass is obviously fat. You know, and you talk about getting some, you know, some more fat into the dish to kind of to soften it, to kind of round it out. You know, when we talk about a sauce being too one-dimensional or a flavour being too one-dimensional, you know, you widen the kind of the soundscape of it, you know, you kind of make it a bit wider, you know, it's kind of, and we, you know, we talk about compression in music, it's kind of the same thing with flavour profiles as well. There's a symbiosis between the two, I think, that kind of works really well, especially with young chefs who, you know, instinctively grow up with music or know what it is. It's a language, it's a common language, you know, I think, definitely.
Thanks to Chef Tom Harris. Be sure to stop in at the Marksman Pub for a pint next time you find yourself in East London. The food's not bad either. You can also head over to thebluegrasssituation.com for a link to Tom's shift list, including all the music you heard on this episode and more, or stream it on Spotify by subscribing to BGS's playlist. The shift list is produced by me, Chris Jacobs, based on an article by the same name created by Nevin Martell, originally published over at BGS.com. Our executive producer is Amy Reitenauer, with help, as always, from the entire BGS team, including associate editor Justin Hiltner, managing editor Craig Shelburne, marketing guru Joseph Klingel, and all the amazing writers and contributors that make BGS the best source for roots culture redefined. Theme music by Jamie Drake. Check her out at jamiedrakemusic.com. If you love The Shift List, please leave us a review or rating over at itunes.com/theshiftlist. And also be sure to check out BGS's ever-growing collection of podcasts up right now at thebluegrasssituation.com. The Shift List is a part of the BGS Podcast Network. I'm Chris Jacobs. Thanks for listening.
Hey, listeners. This is Travis Book, bassist and singer in the bluegrass band The Infamous String Dusters. I started the Travis Book Happy Hour to try to get to the root of what makes my contemporaries tick, what inspires and motivates them, and why they make music. It's an hour where we get to play together, talk about life, and do it all in front of a live studio audience. If you haven't listened yet, maybe check out some of my highlights, including Sierra Hull, Beppe Gambetta, Tim O'Brien, and Lindsay Liu. You can find every episode of the Travis Book Happy Hour on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or wherever you get podcasts.